Canada HR News on March the 18th, 2024. I'm Elena Bobireva. In today's episode, we talk about union updates from Airbus and the City of Edmonton, minimum wage increases, the best countries for work-life balance, provincial employment news, and other topics. To get the latest HR updates, follow us on X at CAD HR News and LinkedIn at Canada HR News Podcast. Last Thursday, the City of Edmonton and the union reached a tentative deal. About 680 Edmonton Public Library staff, who were without a contract since 2020, also came to a tentative agreement the same night. The labor dispute threatened to trigger widespread city shutdowns, close city attractions, and hamper the daily business of the city hall. The union representing the city and library workers shared some information on the tentative deal that was reached to avoid the strike. Workers will receive a lump sum payment of $1,000 for 2021. A 1.25% increase for 2022, a 2% increase for 2023, and a 3% increase for 2024. The same offer was made to both city and library workers. The deal, if ratified, would provide a new collective agreement for more than 5,000 frontline administrative and clerical workers represented by Civic Service Union 52. Airbus SE employees in Canada rejected a contract offer on March the 17th, threatening to go on strike if the French manufacturer doesn't show more willingness to meet their demands. A five-year contract for workers who build A220 jets expired at the beginning of December. Airbus's offer, which included a 10.25% wage increase over 3 years, was described as totally unacceptable by the union, which is also asking for improvements in insurance coverage, more flexible working hours, and the preservation of pension benefits. The Airbus representative said that the initial offer had been made to the union following open discussions for a few months and taking into consideration the current context of the A220, which has not yet reached the break-even point. The union represents 1,300 out of 3,000 workers at the Mirabel manufacturing plant near Montreal. More than 82% of union members voted, with almost all saying no to the deal. Minimum wage workers in federally regulated sectors will get a bump in their pay starting next month. Canada will be increasing the federal minimum wage by 65 cents on April 1, from $16.65 to $17.30 per hour. The federal minimum wage has been growing steadily since 2021. At that time, the federal minimum wage was $15. Increases to the federal minimum wage are based on Canada's Consumer Price Index for the previous calendar year. In 2023, the CPI rose an annual average of 3.9%. The federal minimum wage increase only applies to employees in federally regulated industries. Eligibility also depends on how much workers earn compared to each province and territory's minimum wage. The only region set to increase its minimum wage higher than the federal rate this year is Yukon. As of March 13, the territory's minimum wage was raised from $16.77 to $17.59 per hour. Manitoba's minimum wage is going up by 50 cents an hour as of October the 1st. The increase will bring the hourly rate to $15.80 per hour, and it is tied to the rate of inflation of the previous calendar year. Critics say the provincial government should have gone much further, and some believe that minimum wage should be a living wage. Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives estimates that in Winnipeg, the living wage has risen to $19.21 per hour, in Brandon to $15.69, and in Thompson to $17.48 per hour. The increase to the 2023 living wage was driven by increases in the cost of groceries, the cost of renting an apartment, and transportation costs. While these increases in the cost of essentials were considerable, the introduction of $10 per day childcare brought down monthly costs for working families with children. The main reason for the difference in the living wage rates between the three cities is the cost of housing, which is lower in Brandon and Thompson than in Winnipeg. Fourteen new physicians are now practicing in rural communities across Saskatchewan after completing the Saskatchewan International Physician Practice Assessment in December. Through a return of service contract, they agree to work in the province for a minimum of 3 years upon completion of the assessment. The number of training seats was previously expanded from 36 to 45 each year under Saskatchewan's Health Human Resources Action Plan. Physician recruitment and retention efforts in the province are ongoing. Recently, Saskatchewan physicians accepted a competitive new 4-year contract, which includes a general rate increase, as well as increased funding to support long-term retention, parental leave, and continuing medical education. The Rural Physician Incentive Program also offers up to $200,000 over 5 years to recruit physicians to rural and regional communities. The Alberta government has introduced a legislation that would direct $10 million from this year's budget toward attracting more workers to the province. The funds for the Alberta is calling attraction bonus are aimed at bringing skilled tradespeople from elsewhere in Canada. The program, first announced by former Premier Jason Kenney in 2022, initially targeted Canadians living in Toronto and Vancouver. Last year, Alberta is calling focused on Atlantic Canada and parts of Ontario to bring in workers primarily in the staff-starved hotel and restaurant industries. The Minister for Jobs, Economy and Trade said Alberta is currently facing shortages of skilled trades across the board, and the priorities are electricians, pipe fitters, heavy-duty mechanics, welders, and crane operators. The Alberta Personal Income Tax Act will be amended to introduce the Alberta is Calling Attraction Bonus to allow for a $5,000 refundable tax credit. Ontario has to pay public sector workers $6 billion and counting in Bill 124 compensation. Bill 124 capped salary increases for broader public sector workers at 1% a year for 3 years. But after the Court of Appeal for Ontario ruled it unconstitutional, the government repealed it. Unions with so-called reopener clauses in their contracts that allow for reconsideration of specific issues during the term of the agreement have been seeking retroactive pay increases above the 1% a year, and in most cases, they have been awarded considerably larger amounts. Premier Ford said capping salary increases at 1% a year for 3 years allowed the government to keep people employed, give them a paycheck, put money into healthcare and education, and into infrastructure. But according to Ford, times have changed, inflation has gone up, and workers do deserve more. Since the law was first found unconstitutional by a lower court, arbitrators have awarded additional retroactive pay to several groups of public employees, including teachers, nurses, other hospital workers, public servants, Public Health Ontario employees, and college faculty. What is the country with the best work-life balance? This question was answered by Remote, a global HR platform. Remote reviewed 60 highest GDP nations across the world to understand which countries have the best work-life balance, analyzing a series of workplace-related factors such as statutory annual leave, sick pay, parental leave, healthcare, and overall happiness. Remote's index revealed New Zealand to be the country with the best work-life balance. New Zealand offers 32 days of annual leave, generous rate of sick pay, and the second highest minimum wage of the places on the list. New Zealand is followed by Spain and France. Both countries offer a generous leave allowance, a short work week of 26 hours on average, and in 2017, France introduced the Right to Disconnect Bill. Although Canada is in the ninth place, Toronto was ranked by Remote as the number one international destination for working professionals because of its high quality of life, safety, and the multitude of leisure opportunities. With half the city's population made up of non-Canadians, Toronto is a welcoming destination for international visitors and residents. While work-life balance can mean so many different things to many people, it ultimately ensures that employees can perform their roles to the best of their abilities without impacting their personal lives. And this was Canada HR News. If you enjoyed this episode, follow us to stay up to date and leave us a rating in Apple Podcasts or in your other favorite podcast platform. For more information on the topics discussed today, see the episode description and connect with us on X at CAD HR News and LinkedIn at Canada HR News Podcast.